Eichel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is tape number 73 in the series entitled, Can We Sublimate Our Ugly Cravings to Holiness? This class was recorded live at Eichel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York, on the 1st of Sivan, 5759.
Middle of the 27th chapter of Tanya. Thank you. In this Perek, the Alter Rebbe takes on the unhealthy, negative lusts, urges, drives, instincts, impulses that make their way into the human psyche during our days and our nights, and the feelings of sadness and despair that may easily result from these thoughts and urges and so forth. One primary observation the Alter Rebbe made was, do not think that this despair is stemming from your deep sensitivity to spirituality and goodness, and therefore you're so troubled by the existence of ill-favored and even repulsive thoughts in your life. No. Our sadness from these issues may often stem from an unhealthy ego, from a sense of arrogance. Underlying this grief is essentially a pompous ego which cannot tolerate the fact that it's still not free from its negativity. It must still struggle to retain its spiritual balance. Our despair over our always needed battle with the evil in our life is not necessarily stemming from the evil per se, rather from a haughty and arrogant feeling of who does the impulse think it is that it can creep in into my mind and my heart and rock my psychological boat. I am beyond it. I am superior to it. Says the Alter Rebbe, do not get frustrated. Do not get depressed from these occurrences. Our souls have been created to battle and overcome the negative elements in our life. It is very likely that the purpose and destiny of your soul is to combat rather than transcend the shell, the klipa, the husk of our personalities that mask and cover our divine soul and our spiritual essence. On the contrary, every time you withstand a destructive craving, every time you resist an unhealthy temptation, every time you say no to an evil thought, you subdue, you quell, you crush the forces of darkness that exist in ourself and in the universe at large. This life is not worthless, is not valueless. It's awesomely meaningful. The endeavor of wrestling with the ugliness in our psyche, in our character, in our consciousness, not allowing it to take control over our lives, is not work and toil in vain. Rather, it creates a unique energy. It brings a tremendous revelation of godliness and holiness into our existence. Now the Alter Rebbe continues. We are on Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, page 68. Close to the center of the page, the line begins with the words, Sitra Achere V'Estalek Yikara Dekut Shebrich. There's a period, and we are up to the words of Eloyoit. V'Eloyoit, furthermore, not only by fighting his destructive and unhealthy and negative thoughts and temptations and urges, does one achieve and create an extraordinary, tremendous revelation of godliness and holiness, and subdues through that the forces of negativity. But furthermore, elafilu b'dvarim hamotarim legamri, even in matters that are fully permissible, kol masha adam zeveyach yitzre, every act of the human being sacrificing his impulse, afilu shakala, even if only for a short while, umiskaven le kafilu sitrachre shabachalal asmali, with the intention of subduing and quelling the sitra achra, the other side antithetical to the realms of godliness, truth, and holiness, which is primarily focused and concentrated in the left element of the human being's heart. So every act of Zeveyachitzre is an expression in Gemara and Sanhedrin and Daflam Gimel. The Alter Rebbe uses that expression. He sacrifices his impulse, even for a short while. Kegoin, for example, Shechafetz Lechayil, he wants to eat. He craves to eat. U'ma'achirsu dosei adla acharshai pachos, but he delays his meal for an hour, or even less than an hour, v'aisik b'teira b'aisasham, and during that time, he studies Teira. If he substitutes the time that he would eat with another expression of his egotistical natural impulse, so he exercised the energy of the impulse, not in this area, but in another area. Says Dr. Eben, no, during that time he studies Teira, as the Gemara says, Shar Revius Michael Kaladam, Shah Shishas Michael Tambidicha Chamim, the fourth hour of the day is when all men eat, but the sixth hour of the day is the meal time for Tambidicha Chamim, for Torah scholars. The Gemara Mesech the Shabbos, Daf Yudam Ad Aleph, discusses till when the Jewish judges in Beis Din sit to judge in the Jewish courts. So Reb Sheisha says, Adzman Sud, till the meal time, till the main meal, till the time of the main meal comes. What is that time? So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan. Rabbanan said that Shah Rishayna Maichel Ludim, the first hour of the day is the meal time for Ludim. Ludim, Rashi says, was a cannibalistic tribe that were extremely gluttonous. So the moment they would come, they would immediately engage in their meals. Shah Shnia, the second hour of the day, is Maichalistim, It's the meal time of the thieves. Rashi explains in Pesachim that thieves sleep, don't sleep by night. Their primary work is achieved at night. But in the morning they sleep for 1 hour, and they're so gluttonous that the second hour they immediately eat. Shash lishis is Michael Yershin. Third hour of the day is the meal time for Yershin. Those families that have inherited a great sum of money, so they don't have to labor for their work, they're extremely spoiled, they have all the time in their hands, they don't have to work to earn a livelihood. Huh? Right? So the third hour comes and they eat. Then, as the Gemara says, the fourth hour is Michael Kol Adam, is the meal time for the ordinary man. Then the fifth hour is Michael Payalim, is the meal time for laborers, for workers. And then finally, the sixth hour is Michael Talmid Chachamim, the meal time for Torah scholars. For example, if the day would begin at 6 a.m., so the fourth hour would be 10, the sixth hour would be 12. So the Alter Rebbe explains, why is the sixth hour, the meal time for Talmid Chachamim, 2 hours later than Michael Kol Adam, than the meal time for every person? Because they would go hungry for 2 hours with this intention. Although even after the meal they would study all day. So they're delaying the time of eating did not gain them time of Torah study. They would have studied Torah regardless. It's just a question of timing. Eat now and learn afterwards, or learn now and eat afterwards. Nevertheless, they felt that the very act of postponing the meal is a smack in the face to Sitrachin. It's a smack in the face to the natural impulse based on our animalistic instincts and drives. So that is one example of something permissible. Eating is obviously absolutely permissible, but nevertheless there is the ability of man being kaifa, the sitra achra, of subduing his natural impulsive self, even for a little while. That's in the realm of eating. And the Alter Rebbe gives another example. So too, and this is sometimes much more difficult, if one restrains his mouth from talking about things which he greatly desires to talk about concerning mundane matters, issues of the world. Certainly, if we're dealing with forbidden talk, whether it's gossip, insulting someone, and so on and so forth, here our natural impulse is dictating us and driving us to talk. So when someone says no, there is an extraordinary achievement which he has accomplished here by negating the force of negativity, the animalistic impulse existing in his life. Even if it's not forbidden, nothing wrong and forbidden with the words per se, but he refrains from speaking these words which he truly craves to, precisely because he feels a very powerful urge to do so. Likewise, regarding the thoughts of his mind, our minds often go haywire and like to entertain and engage in many different types of thoughts, even if they're not absolutely forbidden and negative. Nevertheless, he says no to the urge to think about these mundane, arbitrary, and really irrelevant and insignificant matters. Even by the slightest subjugation of the sitra achra here below, even a little bit of such type of behavior or non-behavior, whether in thought, speech, or action, where one does or doesn't do a little small thing, and what is his intention? To subdue the sitra achra in order not to make himself a slave to his inclinations, to his impulses, to the compulsions. So even with the little minute act of saying no to the sitra achra in our lives, istalik yikara de kutshabrichu k'dushasi le'ela harbe. The glory and energy of Hashem and His holiness is greatly elevated on high. Umigdushazu, and from this holiness, Nimshechas Gdushal Yayin al Adam Lamat, a sublime holiness issues forth upon man below. To assist him with a great and powerful aid in his service of Hashem. This is what our sages have said. This is based on Masechta Yuma Daf Lamed Tasamid Aleph, that Adam Kaddish Atzmai Ma'at L'mata. If a man consecrates himself, sanctifies himself in a small measure here below, he is sanctified greatly from above. The ma'at lamata creates an energy which they sanctify him in a tremendous manner from above. Are you supposed to feel that you're asking or not? It's not if you're supposed to feel it or not. That's the whole point. That the human being will experience this elevation. I'll share with you a personal experience. A while ago, I was struggling with a certain very unhealthy impulse. And it was extremely difficult and frustrating and depressing and so on and so forth. So one day I consulted one of my spiritual mentors, and he told me, if you make a commitment for 1 year's time to resist this impulse ruthlessly, the moment it enters your mind or your heart, eradicate it ruthlessly, unrachmanis, for 1 year's time, is I can promise you that when that year passes, you'll look in the mirror and you will not recognize yourself. A whole new level of spirituality of your soul will emerge. I asked, why? What's going to happen? He says, it's difficult to understand in this stage of the game. But that very commitment, for 1 year's time, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be almost tremendously difficult. But it will create an energy and allow your soul to emerge in a whole new way. You won't be able to recognize your previous self, as great and wonderful as you think you are. And I have to say, you can't have it. It was true. It wasn't only true after a year, it was true after 1 month. It wasn't only true after 1 year, much more. But I'm saying even after 1 month. You see, when a person resists a temptation, a lust, a negative thought, an urge, and so forth, the clash, the collision of his soul against his ego, it creates an explosion of holiness. In Tzaddikim's life, this explosion doesn't occur because there's no clash. There's no friction, so there's no collision. The entire space of the eye is pervaded by godliness and transcendence. It's only in the man who is not a tzaddik, namely the man who is dichotomized between two eyes, between a transcendental eye on one hand and an egotistical earthly eye on one hand, where there is the friction between two selves. So when one says no to the sitra achra in his life, says no to the husk, to the mask, to the shell that covers our soul from which these temptations stem, the clash of the soul against the ego, or the ego against the soul, creates an explosion of tremendous holiness and godliness. And on the contrary, the greater the temptation, the greater the explosion. The deeper the temptation you have to resist, the more the ego and the animal is invested in it, the more the soul has to muster its power to withstand it. So the explosion that results from this has a certain atomic nuclear energy to it. And what this does is, it creates an extraordinary revelation and projection of holiness. But in our lives below, we only sense the resistance, we only sense the struggle. Supernally, in a spiritual sense, the darkness has been crushed on a cosmic level, or also on a deep level in our own selves. Says the Alter Rebbe, no. This explosion of holiness is going to come back. It will imbue the human being with a whole new energy of spirituality. You could try it out, and you'll see. These are things that you can try. We all struggle with different issues. Perhaps there is a tzaddik or two sitting around the table, ich weiß nicht. But judging based on myself, we all struggle with a thing or two on various levels. Emotional issues, psychological issues, spiritual issues, intellectual issues, in our own lives, in our relationships with people close to us, with our environment, and so on and so forth. Every human being, according to his or her unique personality and structure and issues that we battle with. Every time when you have a resistance, you say no, you give a smack in the face to the Sitra Achira, and you're doing it to get in touch with your soul. And it's difficult, because the Sitra Achira doesn't come and say, I am Sitra Achira, I am the other side. Sitra Achira comes and say, I am you. The Alter Rebbe calls it Sitra Achira. Sitra Achira doesn't call itself Sitra Achira. If it would be calling itself Sitra Achira, it would give itself away. It can't afford to do that. It calls itself the real you. What you really want, and what you really aspire to, and what you really yearn, and so forth. And everyone knows that at the moment of real temptation, or struggle, or sadness, or depression, or egotism, and various negative feelings that we're challenged by, philosophies are usually worthless. Because we're creatures of the heart in a very powerful way. Even the Alter Rebbe, with his system of Chabad, Chachma bin Adas, is very well aware of the fact that if the divine soul would not have an impact on the heart, there would be little use to all of the philosophical explanations on the power of the mind and the intellect. So the taiva, the cravings, or the thoughts on various levels are very powerful. And at that moment, man has to recall his previous commitment based on his conviction of what is the true nature of man and so forth. And the way to deal with it is to say no. No, no, no. I want to remain loyal to my soul. You might think that you struggle and you struggle and you struggle and you don't feel anything. The cravings persist and so on and so forth. Says the Alter Rebbe, Hashem will respond. Holiness will respond. Your divine soul feels every time you nurture it. It senses it. It won't keep you in the pit forever. It will respond. You will feel. Maybe not after this, maybe not after this specific battle. But as little time continues and you continue, you will feel more and more the result, the consequence of the energy of holiness that you have introduced into yourself and into the universe as a result of your combat and battle. You will feel that that holiness will come back to you and permeate and penetrate you, allow you to experience spirituality in a new powerful way. This doesn't mean the battle is over. But the Alter Rebbe says, it will l'sayei siyua rava atzum. It's powerful words. Great and powerful help in man's service of Hashem. The mekadesh atzmai ma'at l'mayla. Those little small fights that we have, he calls them small. For us, they're large. But in the big picture, for someone else, for example, Your little impulse, your little crave. What type of significance does it have? So who cares? It's your problem. It's ma'at. This ma'at, it's you, but it's ma'at, but it's you. It's real for you. It's individualistic. You got in touch with your soul. And those that are involved in spiritual work and refinement know this. Every time as we continue and continue, this becomes more and more and more. And by the Alter Rebbe, this was a very important component of the life of a Jew. The Alter Rebbe had a chassid, his name was Reb Mardechai of Haradok. And he once related, he said, when we came to Lyazhna, Lyazhna was the little city in White Russia where the Alter Rebbe lived for many decades. He says, when we came to Lyazhna, the first pisgam, the first aphorism, the first idea we heard from the Alter Rebbe was the following statement: "Was mentar tarminisht, on was memagdafminisht. What is forbidden is forbidden, and what is permitted is unnecessary." He says, for 3-4 years. We toiled and labored to integrate this message into our lives and to make it part and parcel of our everyday behavior. And only then, only after that, did I go into the Alter Rebbe for a personal yechidus, for a personal private audience, to receive from him my personal path in serving the Almighty. But before integrating this in our lives, there was not even a thought to go into the Alter Rebbe privately for a private yichidus. What's the concept? Was mitar tarminisht? Was memeg, what is permitted? Go all the way. Why not? Permit it. That's only if Yiddishkeit is a system of rules. Red lights and green lights, and some yellow lights. So then, if it's red light, you don't do it. If it's green light, you do it. But if we recognize the internal elements of Yiddishkeit on our own personality, it's not about getting away and finding loopholes and so forth. It's about achieving transcendence in a mundane, earthly environment. And that relates to every moment and every experience of man's life. And Alter Rebbe continues. Levad. This is apart from another issue. Masha mekayim mitzvahs asir shel Torah. That he performs and fulfills a positive commandment of the Torah, v'hiskadashtem v'chuli, sanctify yourself, etc., k'shemekadish atzmei b'muterloi, when one sanctifies himself in permissible matters. The Pasuk says in Parshas Shmini, at the conclusion of Parshas Shmini, and then again in Parshas G'doshim, v'hiskadishtem v'hiyisem G'doshim. Sanctify yourselves and be holy. So the Alter Rebbe says, this constitutes the mitzvah's asay, the positive mitzvah, lekadesh atzmei b'muter loy, that one should sanctify himself even in permissible matters. Even in permissible issues, he shouldn't allow himself to succumb to the animalistic impulses that are essentially a shell, our klipa and sitra achira, but rather he should remain in tune to his essence, to godliness and to spirituality. And this mitzvah's essay is an achievement only by the beinoni, by the interior man who has to struggle. Why? Because upirush v'iskadishtam, The meaning of the words v'yiskadushtim, you should sanctify yourself as what? Shetasu atzmechem kadoshim. You shall make yourselves holy. So the Alter Rebbe says, what does that mean? Kelaymar, that is to say, av shebe'emes einei kadosh umuvdel misitrach. Although in truth one is not holy, one is not separated from the sitra achira. Why? Ki hi betakfo bigvurasa keteldasa b'chalal hasmaili. For the sitra achira of his animal soul is still as at birth, at its full strength and might in the left part of his heart, which is the seat of his animal soul. Nevertheless, v'hiskadishtem. Essentially, he's not separated. Rakshakovish yitzrei mekadesh atzma. It's just that he subdues his inclination. He masters his evil impulse. And he makes himself holy. Separate from the sitra achira, that is the commandment of his kadishtim. Says the pasuk, v'hi yisem kadoshim. You will be holy. Kilayma, this means, soifoy liyos kadoshim muvdol be'emes me'a sitra achira. Ultimately, he will be truly holy. And removed from the sitra achira, al yidei shemekachem ayse harbe milmaila, through his being greatly sanctified from above, umisayim ayse legar shemilibay maatmat, and through this aid, through this sanctification from above, he's aided, he's helped to expel the sitra achira from his heart, little by little. That is how the Alter Rebbe interprets the v'yiskadishtim v'yisem kadoshim. One possible interpretation is that it's a redundant statement. V'hiskadishtem, you should sanctify yourself. V'yisem kadoshim, you should be holy. The Alter Rebbe says, no. There are two elements happening. V'hiskadishtem, you should be holy. Why do you have to make yourself holy? The tzaddik doesn't have to make himself holy. He is holy. Holiness is, from the Tanya's perspective, any behavior which is an expression of Hashem's unity in the universe. That is holiness. Any deed, word, thought, instinct, drive, impulse, that is an expression, a projection of Hashem Echad, of the unity of Hashem, as discussed in the earlier chapters at length, that is Kedusha. Anything that conceals that element, in other words, is divorced from the true energy and holiness of existence, is Sitra Achra. The tzaddik is pervaded by the divine eye. He is holy. His entire space, outer and even inner psyche, is holy. V'yiskadishtim, you should make yourself holy. Who are we addressing primarily? The person who is not holy. Why is he not holy? Because he is dichotomized between good and evil. Because he has that essential duality between a holy self and an also very unholy self that exists in him. And lingers within his consciousness and within his soul and within his identity. And day after day he must struggle and battle and combat it. Zok de pasik v'yiskadishtem. Even though essentially you're not moved on, you are entrenched in an environment, in a reality of sitra achira. It's part of our lives. V'yiskadishtem. Subdue and master it and put yourself into a space of holiness within that struggle. Zog de pasig v'hi yisem kedoshim. This will express itself. You will become holy. This type of work is not in vain. The work of battling and combating our negative urges is not useless or valueless. V'hi yisem kedoshim, the explosion of energy of holiness, will imbue this person, will penetrate the person, will allow you to experience a whole new level of your soul, of your spirituality, and he will indeed achieve a whole new level of spirituality where this won't be any more a struggle. I, the Alter Rebbe, said before, ulay lekach nivra, perhaps he was created for the battle. But the battle can continue and will continue concerning higher and better things. Good is infinite, godliness is infinite, spirituality is infinite. Once you got rid of one shell, there's now a more subtle shell, a more subtle mask. And this is also experienced vividly as everything else in the Perek. that when we do battle and take on certain issues and areas of our life, and we are persistent, we persevere, and we are consistent with them, ultimately it doesn't become an issue anymore. Our soul mustered the appropriate strength that this is not an issue anymore. Now the combat, the battle, perhaps, if it still exists, usually it does, continues concerning more deeper and more subtle issues, and so on and so forth. Go learn Hilchos Shabbos. Who's stopping you? I was talking to a friend the other day. He shared with me a fantastic personal story. The Baal Shem Tov says that everything is a lesson for our spiritual lives. The doctor told him he must go on a diet. He has to lose 40 pounds. It's urgent. But the man likes eating. He enjoys eating. Like many of us, especially Jews, he enjoys food. So he tried this diet, that diet, Fit for Life, Atkins, all diets and shmiets existing today. Garner's Gehalf. It was all in vain. He saw a piece of cake. He could not resist it. But he had to lose weight. Health is more important than everything. He wanted to live, and the doctor was warning him. So he tells me, I meditated one day, and I explained to myself that I really don't want to eat. I don't want to eat all these sweet and unhealthy foods with calories, because life is more important than the momentary pleasure. So why am I doing something that I don't really want to do? It's ridiculous. He says, and it was wonderful. Because the next time I saw an ice cream or a piece of cake or whatever it was, a slice of pizza or sugar, I told myself, you don't really want this. You want to live. You want to be healthy. A day passed and I didn't eat a lot. Second day passed. The third day passed. He says, the fourth day, suddenly I saw that I really do want it. I really do want it. I told myself I don't. I told myself, but really everyone knows I want it. So why don't I do what I want? And of course, everything was back to square one. Another 2 weeks passed, and the weight was still there. So I told myself, I meditated again, and I said, really, really, I don't want it. True, there was an element that wanted it, but really, my real self doesn't want it. This time it lasted for 5 days. After 5 days, on the sixth day, Shabbos came around and his wife bought some good stuff for dessert, and I saw that I really, really want it. I didn't know what to do. He says, a few weeks ago, I decided a new approach. I want it. I do want to eat with my whole self and my whole soul and my whole consciousness. And nevertheless, I will resist what I want. And that worked. It was difficult, he said, but it worked. Because I came and I acknowledged the fact that I want it. I am connected to it, and I'm still going to say no. You could say no even if you want something. You see, a lot of times we feel that the only way we can be connected, the same that's true about a physical diet is also true about a spiritual diet. Sometimes we feel the only way we could be connected to a spiritual diet is by telling ourselves that this is what we really want, absolutely and unequivocally, and everything else is an illusion and hallucination. True, yesterday I had this impulse and craving, but it's not really me. It's not part of my condition. And really, I'm good, and I'm holy, and I'm a good person, and I'm a spiritual person, and this is what I want. And we harbor those expectations within ourselves. And then what happens? Suddenly you realize after a week or 2 weeks that you really do want unspiritual things. You are really connected to unholy elements as well. So you see, I was fooling myself. I was deceiving myself. I have no connection whatsoever. And either you abandon that whole path, realizing that it's really disconnected to you, or you begin faking and you stop identifying with it, or you become depressed and saddened and so forth. I'm talking about Dvarim Asurim. So the Alter Rebbe is saying we cannot harbor expectations that are unrealistic or untrue about ourselves. That comes often from an unhealthy ego and a sense of arrogance. We have to know that our mission and purpose in life is notwithstanding the fact that we want, nevertheless, you could say no. In fact, that is the extraordinary beauty of the Beinoni's music. That in the midst of a struggle with negativity, he reveals godliness. He doesn't manage to transcend it and liberate himself from the shackles of a mundane and an egotistical soul. No. But as Dr. Rebbe spoke earlier in the chapter, he presents to Hashem a relish which is prepared out of unpleasant delicacies that are placed in the dish in such a fashion that they produce an extraordinary, tremendous taste. His uniqueness is that in the midst of a dichotomy, he, in that space, he introduces godliness and holiness. It's not always easy. It's a battle, it's a combat, but in that itself, he fulfills his wonderful mission and godly destiny and creates an explosion of holiness in his life and in the world for which he was created. True. You're saying something true. In Perek Yudalit, in chapter 14, the Alter Rebbe said, a person should strive to reach the level of a tzaddik, tihi tzaddik. Which means reaching that state of total identification with the godly and the holy. But the Alter Rebbe said, that is not something that every single person can achieve. So that's why the oath continues, Va'al tehi rasha. If you can be a tzaddik, at least do not be a rasha. That every single person has the opportunity. Not everyone can achieve absolute identification 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with the godly element of existence, with Hashem. That should not allow you to fall into despair. These constant struggles and thoughts and cravings and impulses and lusts do not allow it to drag you down. Realize that it's part of our condition which we don't have to lament. Rather, it's part of our destiny which we have to deal with and embrace in a certain sense. This is, Alter Rebbe said in the beginning of chapter 27, if these thoughts and feelings and lusts creep into our mind and our heart during our days and our nights, when we are involved in our day-to-day issues, whether business, eating, sleeping, walking, whatever it may be, and these thoughts creep in. But here he begins addressing a problem which cannot be resolved based on the previous insights of chapter 27. Let's begin. Perek Chavches, chapter 28. Va'afilu im noiflim lo yirhuri taivis ushar machshav zaris. B'shas ha'avayde b'tere b'tvila b'kavana. Even if lustful imaginations or other extraneous thoughts occur to him during his service of Hashem in Torah or in prayer with Kavana. So what are you going to tell the Beinoni? If these thoughts occur to him during the day, you say, do not get depressed. Do not fall into despair. Why are you getting upset? What, you think you're a tzaddik? This is not what happened to you. Don't overestimate yourself. Don't underestimate yourself. Realize that this is your condition and there's a purpose in this condition. So you don't have to become despaired and depressed and grieve and become sad and melancholy from the destiny which is supposed to be part of your life. If you would realize who you are and what you're capable of becoming, you wouldn't get depressed when you're anything but that. But what happens when these extraneous thoughts, impulses, and lusts creep their way into his life during his davening and learning? Here they are not allowing him to serve Hashem. They are not allowing him to pray and to learn, which is part of his mission and purpose and destiny. Previously, when they creep into our hearts during the day, we say, do not allow them to become a force that pulls you down. On the contrary, rejoice with your lot that you have an ability to suppress the sitra achra in your life. But here he's in the middle of davening. He's trying to serve Hashem, which he is also supposed to do. And these are simply not allowing him to pray. And this is a common phenomenon. We begin davening. We think, today I'm going to daven. Approximately 4 or 5 minutes into davening, suddenly our mind is in the stock market, shopping, it's on a flight, a business transaction, an appointment, a doctor's appointment, a crisis, whatever it is. And you know how the mind goes from one issue to another issue to another issue. You're already holding by Shemin Esrei. Interesting, I'm davening. Didn't even realize. They say that some shuls need a sign. Asr lehispalel b'shas hadibur. Usually they have in shuls, asr ledaber b'shas hatfila. You're not allowed to talk during davening. But then there's thoughts. Thoughts, you know, you can be silent in your place. Machshav azar is from all extraneous thoughts. Not necessarily forbidden issues. Could be permissible things. And this is a very often occurrence. Very common occurrence. Or they can even be forbidden issues. Different temptations, lusts, urges that make their way during learning Torah, during davening with Kavana. And this can really wreck and break the life of the human being who is trying to embark on a real spiritual holy path. Tell him, rejoice with your lot, it's part of your condition. But I can't daven, I can't learn. In a real sense, with real tranquility. So there are three possible approaches. One approach is, and it's very common, what does this prove to you? You're not shayich to daven. You're not shayich to learn. It's not you. Who are you fooling? Whom are you fooling? Be honest to yourself. So you just succumb to the situation and you continue doing it out of rote and habit and some type of sense of obligation, but you know yourself that you're not really there for good reason. You have seen it once and again. And then you might say, no, but I'm really there, and then you'll see again, you'll have machshava zaras, and you see, I'm really not there. And so on and so forth. The human psyche is extraordinary, and the way the Alter Rebbe deals with it is even more extraordinary. So that's one approach. That also may include you becoming sad, you becoming melancholy. If you're a serious yid and you want a relationship, this drags you down. It shows you that you're totally disconnected. You're not there. Another approach on the other extreme, which the Alter Rebbe makes mention of, you embrace those alien and extraneous thoughts, as we shall soon see. Not only don't you allow them to drag you down, on the contrary, they become part and parcel of your prayer experience, which is an approach we will discuss soon. The Alter Rebbe disagrees with both. The former is untrue. The latter is unrealistic. The former is untrue. You don't know yourself that well. You have to realize what is going on. Don't allow the shell to cover up the inner energy. The latter is harboring an expectation which does not belong to you, and through which you might fall. The Alter Rebbe takes another approach. Let's see. Al yashis leiv aleihen. He should pay to them no attention. Don't give these thoughts attention. Not easy. They're shouting, they're crying, they're screaming, they're laughing, they're making noise. Don't give them attention. He must avert his mind from them immediately. Vigam al yehi sheita lasig ba'alas amidus l'machshava zara. Nor should he be a sheita, nor should he be a fool to engage in the sublimation of the midos of the emotions of the extraneous thought kinoida, as is known. As is known about this concept of sublimating the emotions behind this extraneous thought, he should not be foolish to entertain them. There is this concept of sublimating these thoughts, but such things were intended and said only for tzaddikim. In tzaddikim, there do not occur any evil thoughts of their own, but only from others. The extraneous or negative impulses that tzaddikim experience are not their own. They're not growing, they're not an outgrowth of the tzaddik's own innate deficiencies and characteristics. Rather, they enter into a psyche from others, as we shall see.